This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States and Oanda senior market analyst Kenny Fisher. How are you doing, guys?
Good afternoon, Johnny. Good afternoon, Nick.
Hey, Johnny. Hey, Kenny. Good to be back with you guys.
Now, I first wanted to start with the dollar. Very interesting to see the dollar against the pound today, which is well and truly above that magical 130 mark. In fact, it's gone quite a lot beyond that. And we're now at year-long highs, Nick. What is the reason behind the weakness of the dollar at the moment, not just against sterling, but against other currencies as well?
Yeah, as you mentioned, just pulling up, looking at the euro and the pound against the US dollar, we do see multi-week highs. And as we were just discussing before getting on the podcast, about a year long high for the pound against the US dollar specifically. The dollar's weakness, there is many different things that you could point to. But over the time of doing this podcast, we've seen some big shifts in the central bank race to rate hikes. And then now we're talking about the race to rate cuts and who's going to move first, so on and so forth. So for currencies, you know, for listeners who are maybe newer to this stuff, generally speaking, a reduction in a central bank's interest rate usually is considered bearish for the underlying currency. And so what we see here is that for a long time, there was expectations for the Fed to be very slow to cut interest rates due to, as the Fed quoted themselves, their outsized growth in the U.S. economy. So what we see now, what triggered more selling today, the dollar index has been trending lower off of cooler than expected economic data for some time, though we've seen a little bit of pickup in that recently with, you know, services PMIs we've discussed and unemployment claims showing a little bit of a bounce back. The overall story for the dollar index continued lower today because we had an interesting revision posted by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And I'm reading a headline here, basically. U.S. job growth for the year ending in March of 2024 was 818,000 jobs less than originally reported. You know, when we take a look at that, that was the biggest one, by the way, since 2009 in terms of a revision to jobs data. 818,000 jobs is a substantial amount of the labor statistics that were posted. So the dollar index continued lower here today. Actually, it started out in the green this morning. And then as soon as this data dropped, the dollar index has flipped to red, continuing its slide lower. We're talking about the dollar index, you know, just in June, it was at 106. We're now looking at 101.25 at the time of recording this. That is a pretty big drop off and has led to those moves that we just discussed in the euro, the pound, et cetera. So the question is this set to continue? And, you know, right now, it does seem pretty apparent that the Fed is poised to rate cut in September. The other thing we could talk about with this dollar weakness is that perhaps this is the market expecting the Fed to be fully dovish on this Jackson Hole symposium that is happening Thursday and Friday of this week. On Friday, we do hear from Jerome Powell, and it is largely expected that he is going to signal interest rate cuts are coming down the pipeline. With this jobs data, if we just kind of bring back our attention a few weeks back when we had that really big sell-off on that Monday morning following the jobs data print from NFP, the last round of NFP data, showed a big slide in employment ads, and that caused a lot of concern for the market, caused the dollar to largely slide, and concerns about recession spiked. Well, you know, what does this data here today tell us? Well, it's definitely not a positive thing per se to see a big reduction in jobs. We clearly saw the stock market's reaction to that being very negative when we had the disappointing NFP statistic. So the question now is, you know, is this set to continue? I think for now, as long as the Fed continues to indicate interest rate cuts are coming pretty quick, the Fed has a reputation the last few years of being relatively transparent with what they plan to do. They've already started to signal that cuts are coming. And I imagine that we are speaking ahead of the meeting here, but I imagine they will probably signal that rate cuts are coming and perhaps lay out their plan going forward. And again, as I just mentioned, if you take a look at the reaction to the markets right now, the stock market is up, the dollar continues lower, yields are falling rapidly, especially with this recent data point that came out. It does seem like the market is largely expecting rate cuts to be signaled heavily.
I would certainly agree with Nick that the weak jobs report that he was discussing is weighing on the U.S. dollar. I think another thing that we're seeing is the really the roller coaster in the stock markets. We saw the the markets fall a lot about a week ago, a week and a half ago, and they've recovered quite sharply. And that has increased risk sentiment. So investors are now feeling better, looking at risk currencies like the Australian dollar, New Zealand dollar, Canadian dollar, and that's hurting the U.S. dollar. We're seeing the safety of the U.S. dollar is not really needed right now, and investors are comfortable looking at the risk currencies, which has been hurting the U.S. dollar in the last couple of days.
Meanwhile, guys, we're going to hear from Fed Chief Jerome Powell at Jackson Hole on Friday. Very interesting, though, ahead of Jackson Hole, Kenny. When we think about central banks across the world, there's different messages coming from either side of the Atlantic, the Canadians, from the United States, from the Australians, from the Europeans, and from the British. Why is there such a divergence?
Absolutely, Johnny. We are seeing this divergence, which is really an exception to what we've seen in the past. We're talking now about a new cycle across the globe of central banks lowering rates. But if we take a look a little more specifically, we see that really the banks are out of sync. Over the past 2-3 years, the banks have been pretty much, if not working together, at least moving in the same direction as far as raising rates quite steeply to fight runaway inflation. And now that we see inflation is close back to the 2% targets of most of the central banks, it looks like most central banks will be lowering rates. But if we take a look, the Bank of Canada, for example, has lowered rates twice in the last few months. The Bank of England has lowered once, but that was a very close vote of 5-4. The Central Bank of Australia is constantly warning about raising rates. And the Fed, we're still waiting. Everyone's waiting with bated breath to see what they're going to do. We're looking at either a quarter point or a half point cut in September. So it's going to be big news when the Fed lowers rates, but we're not sure by how much. And I think what the Jackson Hole meeting could help investors with is perhaps remove some of the uncertainty that we're seeing heading into the meeting. We're not clear what the U.S. will do as far as rate cuts. And perhaps Jerome Powell will provide some insights as to how strong he feels the U.S. economy is looking. If he signals that there's no need for anything more than a quarter rate point cut, we could see the U.S. dollar perhaps strengthen and go against what we've been seeing lately, because the threat of a half point cut will no longer be on the table. So it should be a very interesting meeting, and everyone's waiting to see what Jerome Powell has to say on Friday.
Yeah, and just to add to that, Kenny, for currency traders especially listening, what I do find interesting in these times where we start to see some potential divergence in central banks, these can actually produce some of the bigger trends out there in the currency world. If you're thinking about, you know, for example, in 2022, the concept of aggressive rate hikes from the Fed, meanwhile, you've had other places that were much more hesitant to raise interest rates, that created some very strong US dollar trends that persisted for a suspended period of time. So that is something that I think for the currency traders listening to be keeping an eye on is look for those divergences. See where, you know, maybe one central bank, you know, one that is top of mind is perhaps the RBA, which seems much slower to want to kind of reduce their interest rates, as opposed to maybe, you know, the US or Canada, a place that may seem more keen on cutting their rates to combat or at least to they feel like they're, as Kenny mentioned, their inflation is getting back to a better position. So those are the sorts of things, those divergences in central banks or underlying economies really, are the sorts of things that produce very dominant trends. And another thing just for traders out there, if you're somebody who prefers, you know, more markets that trade back and forth, you may look for economies that are comparable to one another. One's not going to dominate in terms of a interest rate differential kind of situation. So something to think about for sure.
A quick point on that. Besides Jerome Powell, we'll be hearing from other central bankers at Jackson Hole, and it could be very interesting to hear what they have to say. For example, the head of the BOE and the RBA. So when you talk about this divergence, we could see some interesting comments come out of Jackson Hole.
I wonder whether Jerome Powell will reflect on those job number revisions, whether or not it might have affected his view going forward.
Yeah, I think that will be, I imagine, a question for him. You know, many people will be wondering you know, this is the biggest since 2009. That's a pretty substantial figure. How does this impact the Fed's decision-making process? And, you know, who knows? The thing, if you go back to 2022, there was some big surprises from Jackson Hole. I think that the market is very largely anticipating a steady kind of soft landing speech to a degree, a bit of a victory lap, if you will. The question is there any chance that, you know, there's something like that surprise number in jobs or something that stirs the pot a little bit? Perhaps the Fed is more open to 50 basis points than people thought, or, you know, something like that. Those are sort of your outlier potential shockers to the system, if you will. But I do think that the most likely scenario the market is sensing is again, 25 basis point rate cut in September. If there's any surprises, obviously that would make the biggest kind of ripple effects in markets.
And the interesting thing, of course, is this backdrop we have of the US election just weeks away now, and the effect that the economy will have on the result. It seems to be going 50-50 maybe at this moment, depending on whose side you're on, the Biden-Harris team as it is at the moment, and more specifically, Kamala Harris long term, will be hoping for good economic news and for interest rate cuts.
Yeah, absolutely. And just something to quickly add to that, Johnny, you know, a couple of weeks back, we were looking at the Trump versus Biden odds, and it was very swung in favor of Trump. And now it seems that we've got much more of a close call election, at least at the time of, you know, us recording this. It does not seem like there's a clear, obvious winner. And some are now even kind of swinging more in favor of Kamala Harris. So should be very interesting to see how that progresses going forward and what that does to the market. One thing to say on that, just about elections in general, we always talk about that, is when they are a close call, the market doesn't love that usually, right? That uncertainty of not knowing what to expect or what to think or what to position in causes a little skittishness in the market usually. And that is why when you look at seasonality for presidential years, there's some volatility in the middle of the year ahead of the final decisions.
This election could go right down to the wire. So we could have to brace for a lot of uncertainty as we approach November.
Indeed. Kenny, Nick, thank you so much for joining me today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
All right. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Kenny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.